So guys, we are picking up from Perek Tesvav. We left off.
You
down?
I don't know. I had a bookmark in Yudal.
Could be. Yeah, you down it. You down it. Sorry. Shkoyach. So we're picking up from Perek Yudal. We learned the story, the beginning of Yeravam and Rechavam. We spoke about the Pirud HaMamlacha, Yehuda and Yisrael, and we really focused in on Malchus Yisrael and Yeravam. Right, there was a whole story with the Navi who was eaten by the lion and the fake Navi, and that was...
He was killed by the lion
and not eaten. That was the whole story. So, Chevra, we, Bezrat Hashem, like I showed you guys... the Sefer that we're going to be using over the next few weeks. And every time I use it, it's more geschmack that parallels in the Bible Sefer. It's Pashat Tainug. It's mamish amazing. Ain't Vern Kayla. Whoever made it, I don't know who wrote it. I mean, he didn't write it. He just copied and pasted pieces of the Tanakh. And basically what we're going to be doing is we're going to be highlighting differences between Sefer Malachim and Sefer Divrei Hayamim. Over here, there is a strong one, so it could be that this perek will do over 1 or 2 or 2.5 days because there's really a lot to see here. So let's pick up. Perek Yudalet. Be'esahi, at that time that we left off with Yeravam. Be'esahi chala Avia ben Yeravam. So we're told about Avia. Avia is Yeravam's son, and he becomes very sick. Vayomer Yeravam liyishto, kumi na vihishtanis, velo yedu ki at eshes Yeravam, vehalach shilo hine sham achian avi hu diber elai lemelech al ha'am hazeh. So what does Yeravam do? Yeravam says to his wife, get a disguise, make sure he doesn't know who you are, and go to Achia HaShiloni. Who was Achia HaShiloni? He was the Navi who, remember, tore the Beged into 12 different pieces, gave him 10, and said that you were going to become king. Now, a lot has happened. A lot has transpired in between that meeting and this meeting. What is the main thing that happened? Yeravam destroyed Malchus Yisrael. It's rampant with Avodah Zarah. People can't return to the Beis HaMikdash. It's not Pashut, the situation which Am Yisrael, the Kohanim are gone, right? He makes his own Kohanim. So, Chevra, why does Yeravam tell his wife to be disguised when she goes to Yeravam, when she goes to Achia Shiloni for a bracha? Because A,
people hate them.
Who else? But why to Achia Shiloni? Meaning, like, why should she be disguised? Why can't she just come as a representation of the king? That was an open question. That wasn't just...
He let him down.
So what? He's scared. Why would he help me? La'efech, he's gonna curse me if he figures out who I am. He's gonna say, your son, you know, you brought this upon him. Okay, that's one approach. Yeah, what else? Anything else? Any other kivunim? Yeah. Oh, he doesn't want to look like he's asking for help. Why does he want to look like he's asking for help? Not because he doesn't want to look like a Nebuch, but it's Dafka because he's asking help from who? From the Navi. That is a representation of Hashem, which he's essentially, for his power struggle, is fighting against. So it really doesn't make any sense for him to go. It's not gonna play with his narrative of his scene. So, two approaches. Either way, let's go vital. Let's see what happens. V'lakachta biyadi chasara lechem v'nikudim u'bakbuk dvash u'basa ilav hu yagid lach ma yelanar. So go ahead, bring this matana, which was we saw in Sefer Shmuel as well. This was something that the Nevi'im, that used to bring something to the Navi. V'taz kein eishes yiravam v'takam v'tele shilo v'tavo beis achia v'achio le'achol liros ki kamu einav misevo. So, Achia's at the end of his life, and he's hard to see. He has difficult seeing. So this is going to, like, play into, right? This is going to be great. V'adonai amar el achio, hine eshes yoravam ba lidrosh davar meim chayel el bina, ki cholehu kazo v'chazet tiraber ala, v'ayi kevoa v'hi misnakira. So, what happens? Hashem comes to Achia and says, this is going to happen. And she's going to come. Chavra, does this scene sound familiar to anything else that we've learned in the Tanakh? Two scenes come to my head. What's the first one? Yaakov with the brachos, okay, someone can't see so well, and they're disguising themselves. I'm not sure what the connection is, but that's one. Another one, which I think is Shaul. With what? Shaul also disguised himself with the fake prophet. Right? So, a sort of interesting, we have these comparisons. I'm not sure what they mean, but I think, like, the Tanakh is trying to tell us, look over there and try to see something. And also, we know that when Shaul becomes king, Shmuel is told the day before that what? That Shaul is coming. Right? Remember, Shmuel doesn't know who's going to become king. He just knows that there's going to become a king. And Shaul, right? So, a lot of different things to think about. Vayikishma achiyo es kol raglea ba bapetach vayomer boi eishes yiravam. Lama ze'ad misnakira va'anochi shaluach alaych kasha. Why are you messing around? I know who you are. And I have some bad news for you. Bad news. L'chi imri liravam ko amar Adonai Elohei Yisrael yan asher hari mosicha mitoch ha'am vet nechana gid al ami Yisrael, because I chose you to become the king, to become the leader. Ve'ekras amam l'cha mi beis David et nalach v'lo hayisi ka'avdi David asher shamar mitzosai v'asher alach achari b'chol v'avo la'asok rak ha'yashar be'inai. I chose you and I told you, listen, you could become leader. And we discussed how Yeravam really was going to be like a second king. In an ideal world, what would happen when they would come back? Eitz Yehudah and Eitz Yisrael would come together. I really believed in you. And I told you, just keep the mitzvos, and it'll be okay. But you didn't. Vatara la'asos mikol asher hayu lefanecha. Vatelech v'ta'aseh lecha Elohim acharim u'maseichos la'achiseini v'osi hishlachta acharei gavecha. You threw me behind. You left me behind. You started with all this avodah zarah. There's another sentence here, another nekuda over here, which we're going to see repeat itself throughout Sefer Malachim tens and tens of times. And that's that you did worse than everyone who came before you. Now, this is a little bit odd to say this. Why? To Yeravam. Why is it odd to say that you did worse than everyone else? Because he's like the first, meaning there wasn't any, like, what are we comparing to? We're comparing to David and Shlomo? But this is going to be a nekuda that we have to keep our eyes open to. Things are only going to get worse, and that's almost like what Sefer Malachim, like, is trying to show us, is that things just get worse and worse, and it's always comparing to, like, what happened. And comparing not only in a bad sense, but also in a good sense. Yehuda is always going to be compared to, you didn't follow like David, and Yeravam, you didn't follow, at least the last guy was terrible, but you're even worse, right? L'chein hineni mevi ra'al beis Yeravam, v'chrati liravam mashtin bakir atzur v'azuv b'Yisrael u'biarti acharei beis Yeravam kasher yivayer hagalal ad tumo. The first punishment is a punishment for your family, right? The mamlacha is going to be taken away from you. I am not going to leave any people left over. And the words that are used are very difficult. This is a hard punishment. It says, like, right, v'ichrati liravam mashtin bakir. There'll be no one even left over to relieve himself on the wall. Meaning even like the shmo who like goes and, you know, pees on the wall. So like not even that guy is going to be around. It's a weird thing to say. Now, this is going to be something that we see throughout Sefer Malachim as well. This musag, mashtin bakir, the etzur va'azuv, this is going to be part of the punishment. It's almost like there's going to be a total restart. It's going to be a total restart. Now, we are going to see that this dafka happens later on to Achav. We see it physically happen. Hames liyiravam be'ir yochlu haklavim. Anyone who dies in the city is going to be eaten by, the carcasses are going to be eaten by the dogs. V'hames basadeh yochlu of hashamayim ki adonai diber. Why so difficult? Why so hard? Why such a hard punishment? Avodah Zarah, chavra, this is, the nekuda of Avodah Zarah is just like the yesod to understanding everything. I gave a shir the other day about the connection between Avodah Zarah and Nevuah. And the more that we understand the connection between Avodah Zarah and Nevuah, the better we'll understand why it's so bad. Avodah Zarah and Nevuah, says Rav Kook and many others, explain that essentially it's two sides of the same coin. It's a spiritual, a deep spiritual connection. People felt like a certain ecstasy towards the Beis HaMikdash, towards Ruchnias, towards the Navi. You heard, you saw God. There was divinity in a clear way, right? And so why did people go to Avodah Zarah? Avodah Zarah was real. They felt something over there as well. But that Avodah Zarah always came with moral implications. In Avodah Zarah, what always came along with Avodah Zarah? It never ended with Avodah Zarah. What did it always come with? Came with Gil Arayos, it came with Shvichas Damim, it came with Molech, sacrificing your children into the fire, it came with Baal Ashteros, it came with Baal Peor, the Arayos. It never ends there, right? So the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of these three things, Gil Arayos, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah, but really, it was destroyed because of Avodah Zarah. So a person or a king who is advocating for Avodah Zarah needs to be gone. There's no rachmanus because you're being okay the entire idea of not only Torah and believing in Hashem, but even the moral society which we're trying to establish.
It's a concept of Italian like that. No, the Baruch Hashem is not essentially bad.
Right, exactly. Nachon, meaning Avodah Zarah at its core really is just another form of spirituality. Ve'at kumi lechila beisech bevoar raglaich ha'ira umeis hayaled. And go home, and when you come into the city, when your legs step into the city, your child will die. V'safdulo ko Yisrael v'kavruoso. Ki ze levado yavol yiravam el kever, ya nimtza bo davar tov el Adonai Elohi Yisrael bebeis yiravam. But something interesting is that this child is going to be spared from the terrible destiny of the rest of Yeravam's family, and he's going to be buried. Why, Pete? Because Yan Nimtza Bo Davar Tov. Tanakh doesn't tell us what that Davar Tov was. He had something. Chazal tell us in a few different Gemaras that either it was that he saved Am Yisrael from parts of the Avodah Zarah that his father did. Right, he took away the guards that allowed people to go Aliyah LeRegel. There's a few other suggestions in Chazal, but there was something, and therefore he's going to get a hesped, and he's going to. He's also a child. Ve'kim Adonai lo melech al Yisrael asher yachris es beis yiravam ze hayom ume gamatan. There's someone that's going to replace you. It's not going to be the end. There's someone that's going to replace you. Parak pasuk tesvav. Ve'ka Adonai es Yisrael kasher yanud hakaneh b'mayim v'natash es Yisrael me'al adama tovazos asher nasan la'voseyem. Now, this isn't only a punishment to Yeravam. The punishment is also to Am Yisrael. Yes, they were forced. Yes, they were this. Yes, they were that. But they were involved in the Avodah Zarah as well. This is the first remez to what? To Golus, right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send them over Me'ever Anar, right? That's the Nahar of Bavel. Not only the Nahar of the Yarden, but He's going to take you away. Vayitenis Yisrael biglal chatos Yeravam asher chatav asher hichti es Yisrael. Right, Yeravam started this whole thing. Vatakameshis Yeravam vatelech vatavo tirtzasa hi ba besaf habayis vanar mis. Just imagine her walking back with this terrible news. And did anyone see a difference between what the Navi said was going to happen and what actually happens? Anyone want to look back at what he says? And when does he die? Right. So there's a few approaches in the Rishonim. What exactly happens? Why did it change? I don't want to really go into it right now, but just it's just an akuda to think about. Okay. Vayikberu so vayispedulo kol Yisrael kedvar Adonai asher diber biyad avdo achyo hanavi. V'yaser divrei Yerovam asher nilcham v'asher malach hinam ksuvim al sefer divrei yamim l'malchei Yisrael. This is another pasuk, guys, you should get used to. Okay, there's a sefer. We don't have that sefer anymore, but that's sefer divrei hayamim l'malchei Yisrael. That's not the divrei hayamim that we have. Some other book, which obviously wasn't important enough to canonize, but there's a book about the history of the kings of Davka Malchei Yisrael. So if you want more details, go and look over there. V'hayamim asher malach Yerovam esrim u'shtayim shana v'yishkav imav osav v'yimloch Nadav beno tachtav. 22 years he was king, and Nadav comes instead of him. Another son. Now we're going to, as we're going to see over the next few prakim, sometimes the prakim are split up into one perek is about the king in Yisrael, one perek is about the king in Yehuda. Sometimes in the same perek, as we're going to see today, we speak about both. There's always a comparison. When I learned Malachim for the first time, this is something that I would suggest that you guys do as well. Maybe not today, but I could also send you the one that I prepared. When I was learning Malachim, very often you like see the discrepancy in the times of the kings that we're speaking about. This king was, Manasseh was king for 55 years, and there and by Malchei Yehuda there was 40 years and 20 years, and sometimes it's a little bit difficult to like sort of say like who's king at the same time. When do they overlap? So I made a whole chart that Bezrat Hashem I'll send to the groups that guys could have. It's a little bit of a summary of each one of their lives, how long they were king for. And I tried to map it out. You'll see Malchei Yehuda lived for how much longer than Malchei Yisrael? About another 120 years. Okay, so Malchei Yehuda, it's not that there's actually more Malchei Yisrael than Malchei Yehuda, but okay, there you go. You have one in the back of the art scroll as well. I think mine's a little bit better than that one, but anyways, all right. Whatever, this was mine. You know, this is what it's art scroll, Hever. Okay. So, let's move over to Malchei Yehuda. Now, this is where this story that we're about to see is mentioned both in Divrei Hayamim and in Malachim. Most of Divrei Hayamim leaves out almost all of the stories of Malchei Yisrael because Divrei Hayamim was essentially really written to be a safer yuchsin of Beis David. And we saw in previous times that sometimes Sefer Divrei Hayamim has a little bit of a bias as to the way that they see Malchei Yehuda. They're trying to push up Malchei Yehuda and show them in a good light. That's the narrative. That was the point of the Sefer versus the point of Sefer Malachim is Dafka to show the demise of Malchei Yehuda. So let's just pay attention to how it's said over here and how it's said in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. So let's see. Pasuk Kaf Aleph. U'Rechavam ben Shlomo Malach B'Yehuda ben Arba'im V'Achashana. He was 41 years old when he became king. Rechavam ben Malcho U'Shva'esre Shana Malach B'Yushalayim. 17 years. He'ir Asher Bachar Adonai L'Asum Eshmo Sham Mikol Shivtei Yisrael V'Shem Imo Na'ama Ha'amonis. Na'ama ha'amonis. So Na'ama, we also have in this week's, Noach's wife is Na'ama, but this is a different Na'ama, and she's from Ammon. What's the problem with that, Chevra?
No, Ammoni.
Right? Yeah, Nachon, but it's a big problem. It's a big problem, meaning like these, like what do we expect from this guy? Like his mother was like, anyways. Yes, and there's a lot to speak about with why Davka and why Mashiach had to come in this way, but Rechavam clearly didn't bring Mashiach. So meaning we could say that pshat sometimes.
Well, no, theoretically.
No, it will be through.
It does. Right, he's part of the line. Now the implementation. That doesn't mean that all of Malchei Yehuda were good. Most of Malchei Yehuda were bad. Okay, basof. Okay, anyways. V'shem imo na'ama ha'monis. V'yas Yehuda hara b'enei Adonai v'kanu'u oso mikol asher asu avusam b'chatosam asher chato. It didn't take long, Chevra, before Yehuda, the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, had also fallen under the spell of Yeravam and the influences of the Avodah Zarah, possibly the influences of Ammon and Moab, the bordering countries. That's why I said that was important. Okay? Vayivnu gam heim alahem b'mos u'matzevos v'asherim al kol gipa'ah gavoa v'tachas kol eitz ra'anan. The description over here is crazy. Shlomo HaMelech, he was just alive. Okay, so at the end of his life, things weren't so good. But Shlomo HaMelech, the empire, the golden era, and over here, there's no place where you can't find Avodah Zarah. It's everywhere. Tachat kol eitz ra'anan. V'gam kadesh haya ba'aretz asu, kechol ha-toivos ha-goyim asher horish Adonai m'nei b'nei Yisrael. Vayi b'shana ha-chamishis l'melech rechavam, Allah Shishak Melech Mitzrayim al Yerushalayim. Shishak. Chavra, what do we know about Shishak? Who was Shishak? I told you guys to remember this. It's okay if you don't remember. But Shishak, remember, where does Yeravam go when he runs away from Shlomo HaMelech? He goes to Mitzrayim. He goes to Mitzrayim, to Melech Shishak. Okay, Shishak was another name for Paro. Okay, there were a few generations in which Paro wasn't called Paro, it was called Shishak. Okay, and there's actually, we'll see about this, I'll show you Bezrat Hashem tomorrow. There's actually a piece of stone that archaeologists found which describes Shishak's conquering of Yehuda and Israel. It's unbelievable. Mamish, a piece of rock which describes in the old Egyptian language,
happened.
Huh?
Never happened.
What do you mean that it never happened?
Shishak never.
So it does happen. Okay, that's what's going on right here. Vayi b'shana chamishis l'melech rechavam alas Shishak melech Mitzrayim al Yerushalayim. He comes to Yerushalayim. Vayikach esotros beis Adonai vesotros beis Hamelech ves hakol lakach. The binyan mifuar, the beautiful building of Shlomo HaMelech. Mishelora binyan, who Shlomo HaMelech, the Yam Shel Shlomo, the gold on everywhere, the descriptions that we learned about the Beis HaMikdash, everything was taken. Everything was taken. Imagine that. After the golden era, what a fall. From the highest mountain to the lowest valley. Not only in Avodah Zarah, but the power. Okay? However, this is something that I told you earlier this year, or maybe it was last year, when we learned Sefer Shoftim. Power and spiritual prosperity always go in hand. Hand in hand. What do I mean by that? When Am Yisrael is strong, when they're autonomous, when they have their own rule, so then spirituality could be successful. But when they're overtaken by all of these different monarchs and all these different kings from all these foreign lands, so Mimela, what happens is that all of those foreign deities and all of those Avodah Zarahs come along with it. It's not only an oppression. That's what we see throughout history as well. Yeah. You're saying, meaning like, what comes first? So in Sefer Shoftim, that's clearly not what happened, right? In Sefer Shoftim, we saw that what happened? They were doing Avodah Zarah. It was so bad. They went into the hands of, and then they cried out to Hashem. They didn't do tshuva. They cried out to Hashem. They said, save us. Hashem saves them. And then what do? They go back to, right? Right. So so you're right. Benny's saying that there is some sort of hishtadlus which Am Yisrael does. I'm just saying historically, the greatest times, that was the whole, if historically we want to look back just even a few hundred years, there's a whole question in Europe about Napoleon. You guys are holding on this a little bit? Napoleon, was Napoleon a good thing for the Jewish people? Or was he a bad thing for the Jewish people? What do you guys think? You guys don't know anything about Napoleon, but yeah. Huh?
He teared down all the ghettos.
Right. So it was good. So it was good. It was good. It was good. Okay. So this was this. Huh?
Tisha B'Av story.
What's Tisha B'Av story?
He walks into the shul and the hair was crying. And he's like, you don't know.
Is he the one that accepted the Jews into the society?
I'm saying part of a product of Napoleon was eventually the French Revolution, in which everyone, you know, like everyone, right? The opposite, right? The opposite. So it's the best thing in the world. But there were many Rabbanim in Europe. At the head of them was the Alter Rebbe, the famous, the first of the Lubavitcher Rebbes, who opposed Napoleon in a very strong way. Because he said, what happens when we're going to become equal like everyone else? What's going to happen naturally? We're gonna feel like one of the Chevra. No, that's an interesting thing. Why the Chabadnikim use the Napoleon March for Haderes V'Emunah? But that's like beyond our shear. But the point is, meaning like it connects this Nakuda, which is when our Jewish people when. So what happens following the French, you know, the French Revolution and after Napoleon? What happens in Europe? Haskalah and terrible things happened to the Jewish people. Okay?
The Rebbe was right.
So the Rebbe was right. The Rebbe's always right, Chevra. The Rebbe's are always right. Huh?
The Rebbe was Haredi.
Was the Rebbe Haredi? Yes, the Rebbe was Haredi. What? What does that mean? So, all right. Tov, Rabbi Isai, we're back to Tanakh. You got 3 minutes. Okay. So Shishak comes to Yerushalayim and he takes everything mamish. Pasuk of Zayin. Vayas HaMelech Rechavam Tachtam Maginei Nechoshes. What does Rechavam do, Nebach? Everything is taken away. Why doesn't Shishak just destroy Yerushalayim, kill Rechavam like many other kings? We're going to have to speak about that tomorrow. But what Rechavam does is he puts up these bronze shields and everything he takes in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash isn't destroyed, Chevra. But he just makes everything bronze, which is like, you know, ain't a dome, a bronze Beis HaMikdash to a golden Beis HaMikdash. V'yifkid al yad sarei ha'aratzim ha'shomrim Pesach Beis HaMelech. V'yim idei bo ha'melech Beis Adonai yisaum ha'aratzim v'ashivum el ta'aratzim. The security levels went up, v'chulu. V'yeser divrei racham v'chol asher asah ha'loheima k'suvim al sefer divrei ha'yam malchei Yehuda. That sefer we also don't have. That's not our divrei ha'yam as well. Umilchama haisa bein Rechavam ubein Yeravam kol hayamim. And there was war between Malchei Yehuda and Malchei Yisrael, between Rechavam and Yeravam, all of their days. Vayishkav Rechavam yavosav veikaver yavosav bi'ir David, v'shem imo na'ama ha'amonis v'imloch Aviyam beno tachtav. So Aviyam takes over. One last nekuda, a very, very important nekuda, which will bring us into tomorrow's shir, is that there's something very interesting. Is not only is there a discrepancy between this story and the way that it's told in Divrei Hayamim, in that piece of archaeology which they found in Egypt describing Shishak's conquer of Yerushalayim, there's also a conquer of Yisrael. He doesn't only destroy Yerushalayim. He doesn't only conquer Yerushalayim. He also conquers Am Yisrael. And the question which we must ask ourselves, guys, and this is a question that the historians ask themselves as well, is why would Shishak destroy the northern kingdom of Am Yisrael? Why is that a question? Hare, the whole reason, or part of the reason, or maybe part of the reason why Shishak feels comfortable coming to Eretz Yisrael is to go and fight against who? Not Yeravam, to fight against Rechavam. So what happens? What happens that Shishak comes to Yerushalayim and it doesn't end there? Zeret Hashem, we'll speak about that tomorrow. Yeah, Shkarach, guys.